Book at Orbitz.com and stay a step ahead.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. While I'm on vacation, I've left you in the capable hands of Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Once again, his Bradness.
He keeps calling me capable. What's he thinking? Oh, yeah. We're back. Be the Media Friday. Give us a shout. 888-573-8372. No, it's not.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
Oh, I'm not scared at all.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Mm-hmm. Stuck in the middle with you. For two more hours here on Friday. We're glad to have you with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Give us a shout. 888-5-PETER-B. You must be the media. Be the broadcast media today. Join us. Also, join us over on the chat room as you like at bradblog.com, where we are... Oh, here, let me adjust that. That helps a little. Where we are taking your comments. Agent 99 is keeping an eye on it over at bradblog.com. Go to the top of the blog there. Hit comments. Come on in and leave one, or two, or ten. Keep hitting refresh on your browser to keep up with the conversation. All right, let's see here. Oh, this just in from MLev in the chat room, from our friend Richard Hayes Phillips out there in Ohio. He writes that those who would dismiss out of hand our allegations of election fraud are fond of claiming that there is not a shred of evidence to substantiate our charges. To the contrary, there are millions of shreds of evidence in Ohio. In at least 56 of 88 counties, ballots and other election records were shredded or otherwise destroyed. And Richard Hayes Phillips should know he's been spending the better part of the last couple of years actually looking at those ballots. Stop by bradblog.com for a link to that complete story from our friend Richard Hayes Phillips. And let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, yeah, more on the top-to-bottom review. We're going to have more on that in the next hour. Of course, with John Gideon of VotersUnite.org. But I did get off the line just before coming on the air here today with Deborah Bowen, who released her findings, Secretary of State of California, saying that we were able to bypass the both the physical and software security of every system that they tested. Every system. Not that we told you so. All right, Michael Moore says he's been served with a subpoena. Oh, man. This is how the Justice Department in Bush's America is wasting their time. Last night on The Tonight Show, He revealed that the Bush administration had served him with a subpoena regarding his recent trip to Cuba, made as part of his new film Sicko, which, by the way, I recommend. Brad Friedman of BradBlog says, go see it. Run, don't walk. Moore told the audience that he was notified of the subpoena backstage. I haven't even told my own family yet, Moore remarked. I was just informed when I was back there with Jay that the Bush administration has now issued a subpoena for me. Moore declared that the subpoena was unwarranted, saying that this was a work of journalism. He went down, if you see the movie, he actually went down to Cuba with some 9/11 rescue workers to try to get the same health care for them that are current, that is currently being given to so-called Al-Qaeda down in Gitmo. They get great health care. So these guys, these 9/11 rescue workers, have not been able to get a proper health care. He takes them down there, and for some reason they turned him away from Gitmo. So he went to a Cuban hospital and got health care there. And, of course, that would be illegal in theory because of what we're still doing to Cuba. And we're not allowed to do business there. What's that called when we don't allow the to do embargo, something like that? Yeah, anyway, you're not supposed to do, but nonetheless, you can if it's for journalistic purposes. And indeed, Moore argues, and I would agree, that his film was certainly journalistic purposes. So you want to check out Sicko. All right. Laird's on the phone. All right, give us a call, by the way, 888 5 Peter B. with whatever is on your mind. 888-573-8372. Laird from Eureka is being the media. How are you, Laird? What's up?
Two questions. First one, what do you think of the Electoral College?
A good question. The Electoral College.
Okay, I stand corrected.
You know what? I don't really have a position on it at this time. A lot of folks would like to see it done away with, of course, for a number of very good reasons, but I don't have an opinion on it yet, to be frank. I don't, believe it or not, you wouldn't know it from hearing me on the radio here, but I don't necessarily have a lot of opinions. I don't think it matters what my opinion is until I get to the point where I've seen enough and I see that there is no choice but to do one thing or another. So I'm still open on the Electoral College. What's your thought on it?
Well, somebody earlier said something about he felt like his vote was a waste of time. I feel like in California, my Democratic vote for president was a waste of time.
Well, you know what? You make a good point. Certainly in California, which we knew at least in the last election was going to go for Kerry, I actually did not vote for Kerry. I decided to vote for a third party because, and this is a way that your vote is not necessarily a waste of time in a blue state like that. Vote for a third party because the money that the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, whoever it is, the money, the federal money that they get in the next election is based by and large on how many votes they got in the previous election. So if you vote for a third party, you're actually helping out the Greens or the Libertarians or whoever in the next election. That'll give you a reason to vote.
There you go. It is a good one. You're right. Okay, next question. I asked Peter a couple weeks ago, and I don't think anybody ever answered.
Yeah.
Did we vote for Dick Cheney?
No.
Would you explain?
Well, what you actually vote for, you didn't even vote for George Bush, for that matter. You're actually voting for when you vote is for the elector to then go and cast his vote for George Bush, and you make a good question, do they vote? No, I don't think anybody actually votes for vice president now that I think about it.
Well, what's his name? Joe Walsh ran a few years ago for vice president. But I don't know if we voted.
Joe Walsh, have life's been good to him so far?
Yes, that's him.
No, I don't think we vote for vice president. If someone wants to call us at 888-5-PETER-B and correct me on that, I'd be more than happy to take a correction.
And finally, can I make a comment?
You can.
There's a thing going on in the Senate right now. Harry Reid is talking about letting it run through so that Bush can't make appointments. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Letting it run through?
Yeah, he's not going to close the Senate down for the recess. He's going to leave it open for the recess so Bush can't make recess appointments.
Yeah, I have heard talk about that. I haven't heard talk from him about it. Maybe you have.
I've heard it in various places.
Yeah, so he couldn't make recess appointments.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
That was done in 1913, and that's how we got the Federal Reserve. Three guys came back in and voted a quorum, and so here's my comment.
Yes.
When are we going to get tired of looking over our shoulders at these people and playing? When are we going to say enough is enough?
I love you too, Laird. I wish I knew the answer to that. Thanks. Appreciate the call and all the calls you've made to us this week. No idea. I mean, I've said long ago enough is enough, but I don't yet run this country. So all I can do is tell you what's going on and hope that the people take action and hit the streets running at this point. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to be the media here today. We are open at least until the bottom of the hour. When we have Brian, is Brian coming? Brian Myers coming in at the bottom of the hour? He is, from producer from PBS Now. All right, he'll be with us here. Here's an item I didn't get to Wednesday. Two senior Republican lawmakers are reportedly under criminal investigation for alleged corruption linked to an Alaska oil services company. Federal authorities are looking into whether Representative Don Young or Senator Ted Stevens You remember him, he of the bridge to nowhere in Alaska. Whether they accepted bribes, illegal gratuities, or unreported gifts from Vico Corp, an oil field engineering firm in Alaska, the Wall Street Journal wrote, citing unnamed, quote, people close to the case. And I know that our friends Josh Marshall over at TalkingPointsMemo.com has been following this story closely. It remains unclear whether what the company may have received in return for these alleged favors, Wall Street Journal said. The firm was firm has won a series of federal government contracts since 2000, including projects to deliver logistics support for Arctic research, it said. Ted Stevens, can you do, Desi, can you do the imitation of Ted Stevens when they ask him if he would remove the bridge to nowhere from one of the bills?
No.
Very good. That's right. One more time. Do it again.
Ask me the question.
Senator Stevens, can we remove the bridge to nowhere from that legislation?
No.
Very good. Very close. All right. That's another story down. Michael Moore down. We did that. Romney and Giuliani have yet to agree to YouTube debates. This is interesting. 4 days. Raw Stories, John Byrne, another friend over at Raw Stories, reporting that 4 days after the Democrats' landmark YouTube debate in South Carolina, only Senator John McCain and Representative Ron Paul have agreed to participate in CNN's next web-oriented debate. That'll be coming up in September. And, oh, guess what? Romney, Giuliani, they don't want to answer the questions from the YouTubers. What does that tell you? They'd rather hear from the media. They prefer their questions from the losers who they know are going to send them some softballs. All right, more on that and much more on everything else here on the Peter B. Show. Oh, and your calls, 888-5-PETER-B. We're back in a moment.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, and expensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
All right, everybody, let's take a look at the very latest and start off with a problem. It's located in Gilroy. And just an advisory, folks, the Gilroy Garlic Festival runs today through Sunday at Christmas Hill Park from 10 to 7 p.m. Of course, you can expect heavier than usual traffic on 101 in the Gilroy area. And if you've never been to that, well, it's a blast. But at the same time, traffic there. Always a real problem. Santa Cruz County, 150, Santa Cruz County, eastbound 152 at Casserly, a big rig hit a mountainside. It's been cleared from the lanes, and it's still being reported there. Also want to take a look at Watsonville, southbound 1 at Struve, slow injury crash, 2 to 3 vehicles partially blocking the roadway. Fire department, paramedic, emergency crews on scene. Monterey County, northbound 1 at Big Sur, we have an overturned vehicle blocking the northbound lanes. The support brought to you by McDonald's.
To the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman in for PBC for another couple of hours here before I hit the road. Sweet Home Chicago. We might go up there. Who knows? Let's see. Where are we here? Taking your calls. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. We are going to go to Brian Myers here at the bottom of the hour. But it's Be the Media Friday, so we'd love to hear from you. All right, our first call, let's go to Billy from Capitola. Oh, Billy, welcome to the PBC show. What's up?
Oh, Brad.
Oh, Billy.
Well, was it Laird who said, when are people going to have enough is enough?
Yes, that's what he said.
Well, the problem is that lots of the people are really already there, but we don't have the tool. Mm-hmm. I mean, you spend your entire life talking about the fact that the vote isn't honest.
Mm-hmm.
We know we can't seem to have impeachment. We can't control that.
Mm-hmm.
So how about this? I wanted to hear your opinion on term limits. I just think that's the only way to control these power-mad cheaters who shape their own districts and screw us around.
Well, we certainly have control limits. Term limits when it comes to the president of the United States. And I guess that's probably a good thing at this point. I'm not a fan of term limits. I think you're going to do better off changing the way the gerrymandering of districts goes.
Well, if I could, I would. But yeah. I don't have that power, my friend.
Well, I know, but you also don't.
I've been yelling about gerrymandering on this channel for mm-hmm. 2 years. It's one of the only things I talk about. Because I like to say we've already lost our democracy, and then I point to the shape of my district as proof.
Well, and the fact of the matter is that you don't have control over that either. So, you know, what are we going to do? The only thing right now that we have is the ballot box. And so I guess you're suggesting that if we had term limits... But, you know, good luck getting that passed. Most of these guys don't like it. And when they do say they like it, like the Republicans who lied when they came to Congress in 1994, I'm going to term limit myself, they were just kidding. They all lied.
That's right. We want to let the states decide everything. What a lie that is.
Yeah. Well, so you're suggesting national term limits, Billy?
I'm suggesting that we go back to actually letting people be citizen legislators, that we actually do what none of them seem to want to do, and that is they really don't want the people to have any power whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They don't trust us. I don't trust us either. Look at the work we do.
Well, you're right, but I don't know if term limits is the way to do it. I mean, we've got to fix this system somehow. But, you know, I'd hate, there's a lot of people I'd hate to get rid of, a lot of people who are, you know, experienced
who
should stay in there.
It's so true, but the system is so disgusting that they're not effective. You know, sure, Barney Frank's a great guy, but ultimately he's been working 20 years to pass some law that he probably hasn't,
mm-hmm.
because the system doesn't allow us to have real power over our legislators. They have power over us. They've become our enemy.
Appreciate the thought and appreciate the call, and I don't necessarily disagree with you. Billy, I got to run. Thanks for everything, my friend.
Bye, Brad.
All right. All right, we got a good. Is Agent 99 here? Is that what that says? Oh, good. Oh, Agent 99, welcome to the Peter B. Show. Who are you, Agent 99?
Oh, Brad.
Wow.
What do you mean, who am I?
Well, I know who you are, but finally some folks get to hear your voice. The folks at the Brad Blog chat room, if you want to figure out who Agent 99 is, stop by bradblog.com, go to the chat room, top item, hit comments, and hey, thanks for calling in. I thought people might want to hear who the hell you were,
Oh, 99. Well, here I am. The lawnmowers just stopped, and I can actually hear now.
What do you mean the lawnmower? Were you mowing the lawn?
No. Pete, everybody in the neighborhood decides to weed whack and lawn mow right when I need to hear something, you know.
I see.
All right, I'll turn on a beautiful song to mellow myself out, and suddenly sirens are going off. I live out in the middle of nowhere. There's hardly anybody here, but all of them have power tool mania.
Yeah, and I've talked to you, 99. Nothing mellows you out. I don't care what music you put on.
Well,
who are you kidding?
Exactly.
So you might as well, but maybe that's the reason. Maybe it's the lawnmowers that are driving you nuts.
I need to live on the South Pole or something. I don't know.
To get far away from this mess.
Yes. Because I'm more effective when I'm far away from it, believe it or not.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Effective to who?
To the world.
Can you,
to all sentient beings.
Can you still keep an eye on Brad Blog comments when you're at the North Pole?
Well, I don't know. How does the broadband work down there?
I don't know. Do they have wireless? All right, I'll have to pay for some satellite or something. Hey, listen,
yeah.
I just wanted to thank you because we got to get out here at the bottom of the hour, but I wanted to thank you for keeping an eye on the chat room for the past week and a half. Hope it hasn't made you crazier. Has it made you more crazy or less crazy?
Actually, I'm in a nice holding pattern. The jokesters have been going easy on me.
Yeah. The trolls haven't been beating
and
up
And the trolls
too bad?
Are scared of me now.
You've scared them? Yeah, you are kind of tough.
Well, I'm sorry. They're wasting our precious time. And, you know, Billy's got about 5 million points that everybody needs to be listening to and hopping up and down about. And when trolls jump in.
Yeah. So, Billy, you mean the one who we were just talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good. He's got good points, and then these guys come in and waste your time and mine.
Exactly.
Agent 99, I got to get out, but it's a delight talking to you on the air.
Have a good rest of a vacation.
Thanks. I'll be a vacation. When do I get that? I'll be gone for another couple of weeks. So thanks for staying on the job, my friend.
You're welcome.
All right, that was Agent 99. Now you've heard her here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go say hello to her in the Brad Blog chat room. We're back with Brian Myers of PBS and your calls and more news and whatever the hell else we want to talk about before I get out of here altogether. This is the PBC Show. We're back in a moment.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Granger Industrial Supplies, for the ones who get it done. I'm Charles Osgood. Democrats are after Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez's scalp again. Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat of New York.
We're asking the Solicitor General to appoint a special counsel to investigate potential perjury by the Attorney General.
More after this for Granger. Your business can save both time and money when you buy your industrial supplies from Granger, a leading broadline supplier of facilities maintenance products. With 400 local branches and Granger.com, Granger helps you to get the supplies you need quickly so you can be more productive. The right industrial supplies to keep your business running, from safety and material handling to motors, plumbing, and lighting. To learn more about Granger or find a branch near you, visit Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you thinking about buying one of those inexpensive memory foam mattresses? Think again. Tempur-Pedic is the only mattress made from authentic Tempur material, the one that shapes and contours to your body, guaranteeing a restful, rejuvenating night's sleep. Those knockoffs don't even come close. Call Tempur-Pedic today at 1-800-805-3495, and they'll send you a free video, a sample of the proprietary Tempur material, and a 90-day trial certificate. You won't get that from those other guys. Tempur-Pedic is the real deal. Call 1-800-805-3495.
On March 10, 2004, there was a meeting of high-level officials in the hospital room of then-Attorney General John Ashcroft, who was under sedation after surgery. Among those present was the White House counsel, Alberto Gonzalez, who is Attorney General now. The point at issue is whether at that hospital room meeting, the NSA's terrorist surveillance program of wiretaps without warrants on certain individuals was discussed. It was not, according to Gonzalez, who was there.
Earlier this week, Attorney General Gonzalez testified before the Judiciary Committee, and his inability to answer simple and straightforward questions was just stunning.
He was consistent, at least. He kept saying the program was not discussed. But yesterday, when FBI Director Robert Mueller, who was not there, but spoke with Ashcroft afterwards, was asked whether the NSA program had been the subject of the earlier discussion, Mueller said,
"The discussion was on a national NSA program that has been much discussed, yes."
Despite the fact that he was not there and says he got this from Ashcroft, who was under heavy sedation, Democrats like Senator Feinstein take this as proving what they've always thought about Gonzalez is true.
Where his mission is to uphold the law, Attorney General Gonzalez may have crossed the line and misled Congress or even perjured himself.
And Schumer sees it this way.
The Attorney General took an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Instead, he tells the half-truth, the partial truth, and everything but the truth.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is away, but the show must go on. And now, from Houston, here's more from Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
I love this.
This little
joining the fight for your democracy. Bringing your country back. I should say bringing my country back. Doing whatever we can here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman in for PBC for just one more day here before we disappear into the ether. And we've got Brian Myers. Oh, good. Brian, we talked to Greg Palast earlier. He'll be featured tonight on PBS's Now program with David Brancaccio and producer of the... We hope he'll be featured. He told me he will. We'll find out right now from the producer of that that segment. They've got a segment tonight on PBS on vote caging. Go figure. All those years screaming about it. Finally, the American media is jumping in. At least PBS is, and we're glad they're doing so. Brian Myers, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you for having me, Brad. It's a pleasure to be on the air, and through efforts like people as yourself calling a little attention to what we're doing.
Just a little.
Indeed, to confirm reports, Greg Palast will be featured on our program tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, through some of the reporting that he did that we became aware of this issue. So Greg's a real big part of this. As you know, Greg's been reporting on this for a lot of years now.
He has.
I suppose we have been remiss in not jumping on this story earlier, but... what's bringing us to this is, you know, there's like a critical mass, I guess is one way to put it, of evidence and documents that are now coming out, which in fact seem to confirm a lot of people's suspicions that shenanigans and dirty tricks were going on in 2004.
Well, now that you have looked into the report, because I know he's been trying to raise the alarm and running around with his hair on fire, now that you have been able to independently sort of look at his work, look at those caging lists, put these, connect these dots, Tim Griffin and so forth, and I understand you got a bunch of new emails. In fact, can it be said, was there a scheme in 2004 in place by the RNC to try to keep Americans from exercising their right to vote?
Well, there was certainly a scheme. And you're right. On the Now show this evening, you will be introduced not only to Greg's reporting, but some original reporting that we have done. You know, Greg was very focused on Florida. We have also done a lot of poking around the situation in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And as you may remember, the Republican Party actually put in motion a plan to put approximately 3,500 challengers in the polling places in Ohio in 2004. And the plan, the caging plan, was actually further along in Ohio than it was in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there clearly was a scheme. And that scheme was partisan, or had the byproduct or the work product of that scheme had a partisan nature, and it also appears to have a potentially illegal nature to it, in that a lot of the people that were targeted were people of color. You know, the Republican Party, they're unabashed about what they that they were doing this. I mean, they admit that they were in fact amassing these lists with the goal of challenging voters as they entered the polling place.
Brian, this was something that they had agreed to not do, by the way, and I'm sure you guys covered this back in the 80s when they were vote caging down in Louisiana. There was actually a couple of consent decrees that they agreed to not do this anymore.
Absolutely. They did sign a consent decree under the auspices of a federal judge back in 1981 and agreed not to do it. Then, obviously, a lot of people were sort of shocked and appalled that they were attempting to do it this time around, or actually doing it. But, you know, as I was saying, the Republicans will tell you that their motivation was pure, that they were trying to ferret out fraudulent registrations. But, you know, whatever their motivation was, the end result of that work product was something that was partisan, questionable, apparently race-based, and as such, in all likelihood, illegal. So, they were doing this. They were doing it in Florida. They were doing it in Ohio. As we report tonight on our show, they were at least putting the machinery in motion to do it in Pennsylvania and Nevada and New Mexico and, you know, other key battleground states. So, you know, this wasn't... The other thing you will hear from the folks that were conducting this program is that, you know, this was sort of a here and there thing, or, you know, it really wasn't as sort of dramatic as people were making it sound. But, you know, this was a huge multi-million dollar effort. I mean, this wasn't something that was, this wasn't Bush League.
No, well, so to speak. And it certainly was. It was well-funded. It was well-orchestrated. And I talked to one of the producers on the show actually contacted me a couple of weeks ago concerning this segment with some questions. And we talked a little bit about Thor Hearn of the American Center for Voting Rights, who was at the time in 2004 Bush Cheney's national general counsel. Did he? Did you come across Thor Hearn or in this report as having anything to do with this scheme, Brian Myers?
We did not. You know, obviously we came across Tim Griffin's name because he was the director of research at the RNC and at the very least was coordinating this effort. I don't know if he was the mastermind. Cotty Johnson is another name. I think Cotty's last name is Johnson, but he's another aide to Rove who was apparently very much involved in coordinating this effort between the RNC in Washington and the state Republican parties. But, you know, all roads sort of lead back to Karl Rove. I mean, you know, and one other person you'll see tonight on the NOW program is David Iglesias, the former U.S. attorney from New Mexico who was fired because he was not prosecuting voter fraud cases. And in his opinion that one reason Rove is refusing to testify and that they won't produce these emails or, you know, have lost these emails, however they characterize it, is that, you know, that clearly is going to contain evidence that, at least in Iglesias' mind, they contain evidence that Rove's going to be discussing this scheme in a way that would make him criminally culpable for organizing it.
And what of Griffin's resignation recently? What were you able to make of that? He was the oppo researcher for Bush Cheney in 2004. Then he was working directly for Karl Rove, and then was installed as the special prosecutor. I'm sorry, the U.S. attorney in Arkansas, and then resigned very recently. Once Monica Goodling came out in testimony in the House Judiciary Committee and talked about vote caging, a week later, Tim Griffin had resigned. Were you able to talk to him for this report, and or do you tie his resignation to the material that is now seems to be coming out on vote caging?
Well, we approached Mr. Griffin for an interview, and we approached not just him, but the RNC.
Did he cry? Just a curious.
No.
Oh, okay.
You know, he wouldn't even get on the phone with us, interestingly enough.
Right.
I can't believe that.
Well, he cried in a recent speech. That's why I was asking. Okay, I didn't mean
that. Yeah, he did. And, you know, obviously, you know, just given the timing, you know, I think it's pretty clear that he resigned because this thing was gaining steam. I mean, I don't know exactly the reason he cited for not wanting to continue in office, but I'm sure it was something to the effect of, I need more time with my family.
Family, yeah. And well, you know, the fact is, though, even though this thing was gaining steam, these guys usually don't resign. They usually stay in there and fight, and, you know, so I thought it was rather unusual that he just rolled over, so I was wondering, is there more, you know, about to come out than we may realize? But I cut you off. You had called him to see if he would come on for the report, and he did not?
He did not. He didn't want to participate, and neither did the RNC, and neither did the state officials in Ohio or the officials in Florida from 2004. You know, which it's sort of, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the word is a shame, but we would have liked to speak with them and, you know, just ask them exactly what was going on here, and presumably if, you know, they felt what they were doing was worthy, you know, they would have expressed that, and we would have given them the opportunity to do so. But, you know, as far as Griffin goes, you know, I don't know. We haven't poked too deeply into his resignation. I only know that what I read from reading a transcript of his speech he made that you referenced when he sort of got very emotional and began crying.
Cried,
but,
yeah.
You know, he obviously feels he was victimized. I think the essence of that speech was, you know, everyone's out to get him. And, isn't politics terrible? You can't do anything decent for your country anymore because everyone's ready to put you in the pillar in stocks, you know. So that was what he was saying. But
the irony that he feels victimized after he was trying to keep Americans from voting or having their vote counted, according to this material. Well, I'm not crying for him.
Well, you know, again, you read their correspondence among that was going back and forth between them, between the RNC and state people, and, you know, there's a certain kind of glee and delight to what they're doing that just rubs one the wrong way when you read this. But I think to a certain extent, they honestly believe what they were doing. I mean, you know, they're true believers, I guess is one way to put it. And they don't see what they were doing is somehow being bad.
And well, do they really believe when they were caging these people, do they really believe these are fraudulent voters, Brian Myers, or was this just a way that they figured they could game the system in their favor? I mean, do they really believe that when they send a certified mail to someone who doesn't return it because they happen to be at war or because the address is wrong? I mean, what is their actual thinking? Were
well,
you able to figure that out?
What I can tell you from the reporting, I mean, you know, some of them, I don't know of all of them, but some of them seem to really believe they were ferreting out fraudulent voters. But as I said before, whether they believe that or not, the end result of the work product is something that is discriminatory and partisan and potentially illegal. But there are indications in their cars, in their writings among each other that, you know, there is something more to this than just ferreting out fraudulent voters. As I said, there's a certain tone of glee to the emails that sort of, you know, indicates that, you know, it's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of thing going on. But also there's emails, and I think, don't quote me on this, but I think one of them actually written by Griffin. If it wasn't Griffin, it might have been Cotty Johnson, but in which they're talking about, you know, we don't want Republican fingerprints on this, so we sort of have to distance ourselves from this effort. But here's the other thing to consider. All right, if they really believe that they were, if they really believe there were fraudulent voters out there and they wanted to catch these people, why did they send out a letter that, if you read it, is essentially a trick? It's all this highfalutin language about thank you for taking part in our electoral process, et cetera, et cetera. Why didn't the text of the letter read, you know, this is the Republican Party contacting you because we believe that you've registered at a false address. I mean, why didn't they just admit what they were doing?
It was a scam. And I, Brian, I got to get out. I know we got to let you go. So I want to make sure we point folks to pbs.org/now.
Yeah, where's the website? I'll get this all in quickly. It's www.pbs.org/now. And Now is on tonight, and if you're in Houston, it's on KUHT Channel 8 at 7:30, which is actually in about 45 minutes.
And check your local listings, because we're all over the country. Brian Myers, thank you for... Oh, and it'll be on the Internet, too. They post these reports over there after they air. So thank you, Brian, and let's talk about a report on ACVR of Thor Hearn, because I think you got a whole lot there that needs some uncovering, my friend.
All right. Well, when I get off the phone here, I'm going to Google his name.
Oh, you'll find a lot on it. All right. Thanks, Brian, for everything. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman, sitting in for Peter B. We're back in a moment.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
And we're taking a look at the latest now. CHP telling us about a problem being reported. It is Monterey northbound 1 at Big Sur. Injury crash. This is an overturned vehicle blocking the northbound lanes. We have paramedics, fire department on scene there. Santa Cruz County 152 eastbound at Casserly. A big rig hit the mountainside. It's been cleared, but CHP still on scene there for some reason. Watsonville southbound 1 at Strove Slow. We have an injury crash, 2 to 3 vehicles partially blocking the roadway. That's in the clearing stages. Emergency crews on scene. King City, Highway 198 at Pine Valley, a motorcycle down on the right shoulder. Emergency crews in scene are actually en route there. San Martin Avenue at Los Lagos. We have a two-vehicle crash reportedly there.
There we go. What's that? There you go. Atta girl. All right, we're back with the Peter B. Collins Show deep in the heart of Texas, broadcasting for the last hour or so here from Houston, Texas, where we're sitting in for Peter B. And happy to be here. Oh, thank you, Peter, as if you were listening out there drinking Chianti in Italy, wherever you may happen to be. We're going to be speaking, by the way, next hour, not only with John Gideon, but taking more of your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. We will only take your calls, however, if you call. 888-5-PETER-B. Whatever's on your mind. Got a question for me? This is your last chance, because I only got another hour, and then I'm gone. And next week, Christine Kraft from 1240 AM Talk City up in Sacramento is going to pick up and take over the Peter B. Collins Show from here. And we're going to be talking to Christine in the next half hour, because she, in fact, is in Sacramento and is helping to organize on Monday. There'll be a public hearing up in Sacramento on Deborah Bowen's findings in her top-to-bottom review, which were released. I haven't even gotten to check it. It was supposed to be on the California Secretary of State website earlier today. The conversation we had with her just before we went on the air, that they were having trouble because there were some big reports. Okay, they are up now. The UC, University of California, Red Team reports are now up on Diebold, Hart InterCivic, and Sequoia Voting Systems. And there's an overview there. One of the things that Deborah Bowen did say was that they were able to bypass security in every system tested, violate both the physical and software security of all systems. John Gideon will have info for that on that for us, as will Christine Kraft, who I think was also on that phone call. Just wanted to finish off one or two stories here. I had mentioned before we went to a break earlier that both Romney and Giuliani have yet to agree to appear on the CNN YouTube debate. John McCain has agreed. Ron Paul has agreed. Giuliani and Mitt Romney have not. That despite both of their campaigns that have dozens of videos already up on their own YouTube channels, as reported by Washington Post blogger Sam Feist. Neither have the rest of the Republican candidates, however, signed up, including Tom Tancredo from Colorado, whose Tancredo takes on his YouTube channel draws hundreds of views. Sources familiar with the Giuliani campaign said he's unlikely to participate, the Post's blogger added. Kevin Madden, Romney's spokesman, said the former Massachusetts governor has 7 debate invitations covering a span of 11 days in September. Oh, he's just too busy to make it. In other words, writes John Byrne at Raw Story, screw you, YouTube denizens. We have haven't committed to any of them yet, Romney said. Romney told a New Hampshire paper he's not a fan of the CNN YouTube format, referring to a video of a snowman asking a Democratic candidate a question about global warming. Romney quipped, I think the presidency ought to be held at a higher level than having to answer questions from a snowman. Oh, really? Yeah. The point here is they want their questions from Wolf Blitzer. They want their questions from the guys who aren't going to ask them the tough ones. They don't want to talk to the people, because that's what the YouTube debates were, people asking questions. People are unreliable. Washington Press Corps, very reliable. They know what they're going to ask. That's why Romney and Giuliani and Tancredo are chicken, apparently, to show up for the CNN YouTube debate. All right. Bill in Cleveland wants to talk about Ohio. Bill, what's up? Welcome to the PBC show.
Hey, it's a great honor to talk to you, Brad.
good to have you here. What's going on?
It was fascinating, the whole bit about Ohio. He mentioned Ohio, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. New Mexico, I think he said Arizona, and a couple other states. And those were all the states where the statistical errors are one way.
Well, you're talking about the errors in the so-called statistical errors in the exit polling for all of those states.
Oh, yeah, exactly. In
the exit poll
for a presidential election.
Exactly. The exit polls went one way. The final results, they just happened to come out the other way. Florida.
Isn't that just copacetic?
Florida, New Mexico, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Nevada were the states that he mentioned. And, it's just a coincidence, Bill.
That's just crazy. Oh, yeah, and you know, what's interesting about the YouTube Democratic debates was that, you know, all this talk about impeachment, there was not one question about impeachment.
Well, that's interesting, and they got something like 2,000 questions that were submitted, and I know, obviously, they couldn't pick everything, but it is
1,000 of those. What's your stance on impeachment?
Yeah, exactly. It somewhat strains credulity that nobody asked about impeachment. I don't think
going back to Ohio, I'm just shocked, I tell you, that J. Kenneth Blackwell did not answer any questions from the producers from Now.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that remarkable? He's usually so open and loving to the media.
Unbelievable. Thanks, Greg. You've done a great job this week, and we'll see you on the blogs.
Bless you, Bill. I appreciate that. Thanks for the call.
BillO'WrightsMan.com.
What is it?
BillO'WrightsMan.com.
Oh, thank you, sir. BillO'WrightsMan.com. One of those quaint old folks who still believes in the Bill of Rights. What country do you think you are living in, sir? This is Bush World. Get used to it. A couple was, we can't even get to this before a break comes, but a couple was, see if we can do it. They were protesting the state of the country, flying the flag upside down. And so they found themselves in jail, arrested for having done so this last Wednesday. Mark and Deborah Kuhn arrested on 2 counts of assault on a government employee, resisting arrest, and a rarely used charge for desecrating an American flag, all misdemeanors. They were released from custody recently. This is surreal, said Deborah Kuhn, 52, moments after her son Mark Stidham paid $1,500 bond to get them out of jail. Arrest reports show that the sheriff's deputy went by to investigate a complaint of an American flag on display after being desecrated. Well, it wasn't desecrated, actually. In fact, it had a sign taped to it which said, "Help our country," and another sign with a photo of George Bush, which said, "Out now," written on it. They flew it upside down as a sign of distress, and their distress was they were sent to jail. Welcome to Bush's America. I'm Brad Friedman on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're back with our Election Integrity Hour, as if every hour isn't Election Integrity Hour. John Gideon on Bowen's report, and so much more right after.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Ford F-250 4x4 Super Cab, which combines the benefits of a work truck and the creature comforts of an SUV. With a beefy 6.8-liter 10-cylinder engine and a 5-speed automatic, the F-250 has plenty of power and excellent on-demand 4-wheel drive. Inside, it's very roomy. You can wear your cowboy hat while you drive. But the rear bench seat wouldn't be very comfortable on a long haul. My demo is loaded with nav system, satellite radio, all the accessories you'd expect in a deluxe SUV. Plus, it has a tailgate step and tailgate fence that are very practical. Without a payload, the F-250 gets a little herky-jerky on the freeway, settles down when it's loaded. By the numbers, Ford doesn't publish the mileage. I got about 15 miles to the gallon. The F-250 stickers in California for about $44,000.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. NASA says it will investigate claims the two astronauts were cleared to fly even though they showed up drunk. That's according to a report today from a panel that evaluated the astronaut health care system. Many in the space agency are appalled, as CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts reports.
Astronaut Mark Polansky has flown two shuttle missions.
Certainly the night before launch, the last thing you're thinking about is getting hammered.
This is not a very good week for NASA.
NASA historian Howard McCurdy says today's announcement is alarming if it's true.
Well, the general public has a reason to be concerned because it resembles some of the decision processes that led up to the Challenger and the Columbia accidents.
NASA's first order of business now, determining if today's allegations are in fact true.
The report recommends a stricter policy on alcohol use and also says crew members and flight surgeons should not be ignored when they raise concerns about someone's condition. At the end of a bad week on Wall Street, the Dow was more than 700 points off the 14,000 mark it hit just last week. Market jitters took another 208 points off the Dow today. It closed at 13,265. But the pros say this is just a correction, and CBS News correspondent Kelly Wallace reports many people seem to be heeding their advice to hang tough.
Despite the Wall Street roller coaster, investors like Mary Ellen Scott are not concerned.
Well, I've been in it long enough to see it go up and go down and come back, so that's what I'm thinking it's going to do.
History is on her side. From 1985 to 2006, the Dow grew an average of 8.6% per year. If you invested $1,000 back then, you'd have over $15,000 today.
Rick Gotchi, an air conditioning contractor in Phoenix, was doing his work this afternoon when a TV news helicopter appeared overhead. Then another, and then they got too close.
He hit the copter, and it, like, they sucked together and just exploded.
Four people were killed as the choppers crashed in a ball of flame. They and the others were following a police car chase at the time. The suspect was captured later. Millions of cans of Castleberry's products have been recalled, but as CBS's Jim Taylor reports, some supermarkets haven't gotten the message.
The stuff is still being sold. Cans of chili, stew, and hash, potentially contaminated with poison.